This is the eighth episode of Fool Come Out and Find Out, and today I'm talking to Prince. Just a month ago, he was in Matt's first year at Oxford with a Pareto Fellowship. He also has Entrepreneurs First on his CV and England Junior Chess Squad, to name a few of his achievements. He's now also a dropout, which will be the main topic of discussion in this interview. But firstly, how was your day going?
It's going great. Just living in my parents' house right now. Flew back from Munich a couple days ago. But no, it's going super well. Thank you for having me.
Sweet, and you're just relaxing at the moment, no work.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's like pretty much work every day.
We originally met as interns at Entrepreneurs First, which would have been summer last year, which is already kind of crazy to say. Looking back on that summer, what were some of your favorite memories?
I guess that was my first like professional experience, right? And I was like 19 years old. I'd done some like maths tutoring, but nothing, in an office. So in the beginning, I remember being like super sort of anxious about like even things like, oh, how do I act? What are the social norms here? Even at school, right? You have like a specific time you have lunch, a specific time you have like break time. Whereas like in the real world, you don't have this sort of thing. I was also like living alone fully from like parents. I had to like figure out my own accommodation, etc. So that was like pretty, obviously it was really, really good for me. But it was also like pretty, I guess, a little stressful in the beginning figuring all of that out. But apart from that, I had like a really good experience. Like I really enjoyed the 3 months I was at EF. I learned so much. My network just exploded. Made a lot of good friends. A lot of them I still like stay in touch with. Learned so much, met so many founders. That was like such a pivotal moment for my life. And it's only been like 1 year on, but like I think my life has literally gone like this since then.
Nice. Yeah, I remember. I think we had a conversation like this at the time, and I was 21, and I was like, this is quite overwhelming entering the corporate life, and you were doing it 3 years younger, so I can only imagine.
Thing is, it's EF's not even that corporate. Like it gets,
No.
if you're doing like traditional finance or like consulting, it's so different. Like even at EF, you can, there's not someone telling you like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do this. It's like pretty chill for most jobs, I'd say. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know how most jobs are, but
No, to be fair, as an 18-year-old, you're probably not getting an internship at most corporate environments, so that is testament to EF. We'll talk about Entrepreneurs First a little bit later, but let's address the elephant in the room. You dropped out of Oxford's about 20 days ago, roughly, I think.
Yeah,
Do you want to
like 2 3 weeks ago.
just walk us through that decision?
So I guess it was always, I guess like after EF, it was like sort of on my mind that I would drop out. Like this was a very serious thing that I was considering, and it was sort of strange because like the 3 months before EF, or like right before EF, there was no chance I would drop out. Like I was gonna just like finish my degree, study maths, maybe do an internship in finance or the typical sort of maths degree things that people do, and then consider founding a company. But then right after EF, it was like, wow, I actually think like founding a company or working in startups and working in this world is like probably what I want to do for sure. And if I want to accelerate and learn as much as possible, as fast as possible, then like obviously career-wise, the best option for me is to like join a startup immediately. And so like why go to like university at all then, right? It was like mostly just for fun. Like I really just wanted to like have fun for a little bit, experience the university lifestyle, be just a normal kid. And then yeah, I was sort of like scrambling about trying to figure out like, okay, do I found a company or do I join a startup? And sort of did a few work trials at a number of companies, didn't join them for various reasons. Then was like, okay, I'm gonna go start my own company. Broke up with my co-founder, like, realized like they didn't want to start a company at the time, and then basically got in touch with like a close friend who was like, yeah, sort of knew for a while, and he introduced me to Micro AGI. The TLDR is like it just makes sense, like career-wise. I've like written about this on my blog a little bit.
So you feel like the decision was already made before you even like stepped into your college, or was there something still lingering in your head?
Yeah, I think for the most part the decision was made. But you're right in that like there was something in the back of my mind, like I'm missing out on 3 to 4 years of just like having fun. Yeah.
Okay, but there was nothing career related. It was just about more about the social side, I guess.
Exactly. It was the only thing was the social side. Like career-wise, this is like I'm in an unbelievable spot, to be honest.
So on that sort of career point, you could say that this like dropout credentials a little bit in vogue. I saw this like this big TechCrunch article about it, but it's obviously not necessarily the data, at least not at the moment. So over 85% of unicorn founders hold BAs, for example, and obviously a lot of them hold even more advanced degrees than that. My understanding is that you eventually want to build, and that's what your career is leading to. What would you say makes yourself different to that 85%?
Yeah, I guess like there's a lot of arguments like this when you're making any decision. It's like, oh, well, most people did this way. Most successful people did X. Why aren't you doing X? And like I tend to like normally in all arguments, I never use like I very rarely like factor in these like data points. Just because like you should just think like the way I've always thought about decisions is like just think about your situation. Think about what is like the most relevant thing from you. And like don't try to like be influenced by like what the statistic says. And like for me, so that was the main thing. Like I didn't even think about this like, oh well, you know, look at the most successful founders. Most of them are like had degrees. I didn't even this didn't even like occur to me. But like okay, let's like consider this. Like even so, I think yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it's something that's going to be happening more often? Do you think people are going to be more willing to drop out as time goes, or is it, or are you an anomaly to that trend?
I think probably in the UK, like the dropout rate will—I would imagine it increases a little bit. I don't think it would increase that by that much. I think like probably the reason it would increase is like just because of like the US startup culture sort of seeping to Europe. Like dropping out from UK universities to like go work at a startup or go found your own startup is like basically unheard of. Like very few people each year. Whereas in the US, it's like I talk to my friends from like UPenn or Stanford, and everyone has like, I don't know, 10, 20 friends who like dropped out to do YC or something.
I mean, to then just only focus on you, you did admit in your blog that it was like an exceptional scenario that led to you dropping out. So how would you then define sort of exceptionality in that situation?
Yeah, I guess that there are like a number of things I would think about. So one in the blog I said like, you know, if you can convince a bunch of startups to hire you, this is like really good, right? Because that means like, okay, maybe the startup fails, or maybe you get fired, or maybe you don't like the startup and you decide to leave, then you should be able to like go and figure out what to do next. So that's like one thing. And for most like first year students at university, like you're probably not going to be able to convince a lot of startups to hire you, especially good ones, right? The second thing is like, I guess, exposure in some way to like the field beforehand. Like for example, for me, I had already got an internship at Entrepreneurs First before I started university, right? I could, you know, like I didn't actually need to go to university in the first place to get a job, and that was sort of very fortunate. I guess that's another sort of thing I'd look for. What else? Yeah, another thing was like, maybe this is quite cliche, but like, how bad do you really want it? Like, maybe you don't really care that much about your career when you're in your first year of university. And that's fine. Like, that's fair, right? Maybe you just don't have that much. Maybe you're not super driven by that and right now, and that's totally okay. Maybe you're having a great time at university, and you should just like go enjoy that. If you don't have like a burning desire to like go work at a startup or go build your own, there's like no need to consider this, I think. Like you'll probably end up regretting it a lot, in my opinion. Yeah, I guess those are the big three things.
Yeah, to expand on that, you had some choice words to say about your peers at Oxford. You said that Oxford University lacks original thinking, and too many students lack genuine interest as well. Do you still stand by that phrasing?
I guess a lot of it's sort of purposefully being provocative. I think what I mean in context is more like, I think a lot of people, especially, I mean, let's take like math students, for example. I think like almost everyone, or like a statistically significant amount of people want to do quant, or like, want to work at J3 or Citadel. And I think like of those people, actually very few people want to do it because they have like a genuine interest in like the type of like job you'd be doing. I think like the majority of people see everyone else doing it, or see like the very very high attractive pay, and this is like the primary motivator. I think this is like really unoriginal. I think this is like kind of, it's like quite an uninspiring way to think about like how you should think about your career, I think. And in that sense, it's like, yeah, this is like not the most ambitious thing you could be doing. This is like the default option that you're going for.
So you differentiate then the sort of most high paid job you can go for and the most ambitious job you can go for as two separate things there, if I follow your argument.
I guess like when I say high paying, I mean like if you calculate like the expected value of like a bunch of careers, like actually the expected value for like a founder is very low, because like most startups will fail. Like you'll probably end up being very broke. Whereas like the expected value for working at like Citadel or Jane Street is like super high,
Yeah, it's not
like
bad.
comparatively much much safer job, very high salary. And in that sense, like yeah, like working for these sort of companies, like probably you'll end up being, you'll end up having much more money on average. Whereas like I think most people would argue like working at Jane Street is like a less ambitious goal than like founding a billion-dollar company, at least in my opinion. So in that sense, like that's how I think about it.
Yeah, I guess you're operating on like a completely different style graph or a expected value to somebody working at Jane Street or Citadel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You spent even less time in university than me, but where do you think that sort of lack of interest comes from? Because Oxford in the UK should be sort of the peak like academic institution.
Yeah.
Where do you think that's like that? Is that a problem that can be identified, or is it just sort of
I think
you
this is a
gone?
general problem with the UK. Like, there is no like startup, or like not really a big startup culture here at all. That's one thing. The second thing I think is just like, oh, there's like two other things, right? There's one sense of like, I don't know if you've heard of like the tall poppy syndrome. And it's this idea in the UK that like you don't want to have to like stand out. You don't want to seem like you're so much, like so ahead of your peers. You just sort of want to stick in the crowd. You want to continue as normal. You want to fit in, etc. And that's very prevalent in the UK, especially. Whereas if you look at the US, it's like it's completely different. Everyone wants to stick out. Everyone wants to be doing better. There is this like very fierce, competitive nature. I think that's one thing. I think the second thing is just like generally because of like the historical like lack of startup culture that isn't just obvious role models. Like I don't know, if you ask someone like, oh, who's the most successful founder from Oxford or Cambridge, like I probably wouldn't be able to say. Like I really don't know. Maybe that's not good on my part, but like I don't know. I think that says something. Whereas, like, if you say like, oh, who's the most successful founder from Harvard or Stanford or MIT? I mean, there's like tons, right? There's like Mark Zuckerberg from Harvard, or Alexander Wang from Scale AI, who went to MIT, etc. Right? So I guess that's like another thing. Another thing is just like, I guess, especially at Oxford and Cambridge. I mean, the type of students that will end up going here, often, or like, there's like very high private school rates. And if you look at like the typical demographic of like private school students, a lot of their parents work in finance or consulting. And normally you're just going to go follow this path, right? And I think that's like another thing that happens at Oxford and Cambridge. There was just like this culture of like, yeah, we're going to compete for like Goldman Sachs internships or McKinsey internships. I think historically that's been the case. But yeah, I think it's primarily like a deep issue with like UK ambition.
It's interesting. I mean, I graduated from LSE, which is arguably even worse for that. It's funny what you're saying about founders coming from Oxford. I think Oxford has 16 saints that have graduated. They have a lot of prime ministers, but yeah, maybe not so many founders. And you've highlighted a sort of lack of ambition, lack of startup culture in the UK. Is that something that you then think needs to develop top down, or does it kind of come from people like me and you to sort of change the buck a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think about this as much, and maybe I should think about this more.
Is it a blog
I guess,
topic incoming?
yeah, I guess like I don't really know whose responsibility this is. I think there's like good things being done in the UK to like encourage this more. I think EFR are doing a good job at reaching a lot of like young graduates and like convincing them to consider founding a company. There's also been like a number of recent things I've seen, like Project Ambition is like I think two founders or VC investors ran this like sort of project with the government. I think you know stuff like hackathons, etc. These are like a good gateway to meet a lot of young builders or people like that. I think like the people who are going to have the most impact on like fixing this problem will be like I guess lower down. It isn't like individuals or groups or like private companies that are like running more hackathons, running more events, etc. And also like startups actually going in and like poaching directly from Oxford or Cambridge or like you know all these universities and getting more students from there to come work at these startups. I think this will like slowly. Obviously, this is improving. I think this is like improved a lot. Over the last couple of years, I think this will continue to improve as European startups in general become more common, and they'll start hiring directly from universities. And then, I think that's probably how we're going to solve this.
I mean, you kind of mentioned that it's the problem's intriguing because in many ways the infrastructure is there because you have Oxford and Cambridge, and also like employing somebody like you is super cheap tech talent relatively to go into like San Francisco and then trying to hire engineers out there. So like it should be like a really fertile place for startups, but just
Exactly. Like
not quite
this is what I
yet.
mean. Like the UK has, you know, we're just as good as the US in terms of talent, right? Like in no way are like students at our university somehow you know, less talented than US universities. In many ways we're better. And we have like a good economy, we have good infrastructure. The only thing is like just it's just a cultural thing. It's just like a behavioral thing. And the moment this starts changing, then yeah, it's like the board will flip, I think.
This is interesting food for thought, but there's a theory that essentially the American white settlers who settled the US and whatever like 400, 500 years ago, they were obviously English, but they were the most enterprising English people. In a way, you could almost call them the like entrepreneurs of the 1600s because they went over the ocean with basically like really minimal expected value. Either like you don't make it or you make it really big. And there's a theory that then like American corporate capitalist culture developed from that kind of like enterprising settler mindset, which maybe means that everybody left in the UK are just the ones that kind of favor the status quo, which I don't know how that helps us today, but it's food for thought, definitely, if
Interesting.
it's a
I've never
cultural
heard of
thing.
that. Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, I've never heard of that. I would imagine like this is. I don't know how big of an effect that would actually have, especially because like I feel like most of the entrepreneurship boom in the US, especially in like the startup world, happened in the last what like 40, 50 years ago at most, or like probably less than this. Or maybe it was like oh I don't know there was like. A sort of effect trickling down into the last couple of years. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it depends how you define entrepreneurship, because in many ways colonialism is entrepreneurial. It's going and
Yeah, that's true.
taking advantage of peoples and lands. So
Yeah,
although
fair. Yeah.
most people wouldn't like to call it that these days.
Yeah.
Before we get too sidetracked into more deep cultural discussions, let's talk a little bit about micro AGI and why you joined micro AGI specifically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I guess, okay, there are a number of reasons, obviously. Like, one of the most important things was just like phenomenal people. Like, I really, like, I think Micro AGI have got hiring down so well. I like everyone on the team. I really do. Everyone's so smart. Everyone is like amazing to get along with. I'm learning so much very quickly. Ambition wise, it's like the highest in Europe, in my opinion. I fit in very well. I guess that's like the number one thing. It's like the people I'm surrounded with is like the most important thing. Other things include like I just wanted more exposure to robotics, I think. I think like for the past year I'd been thinking about robotics and like annoyingly had spent time on other things or had not been agentic enough to like go learn robotics myself, etc. And I was like, okay, I should really like if I'm gonna join a company, it should probably be in robotics. Just because I think like that is like something I want to work in the future for sure.
What is it about robotics that makes you want to work there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a very simple, naive answer is like, I think most people know robotics is the bet next big thing coming, right? Like we've already had, I guess, the ChatGPT moment. I wouldn't say we've had the ChatGPT moment in robotics yet, but like, I mean in the sort of AI software world, we've already had this big thing, and that's already starting to like completely revolutionize like a lot of industries. We've seen a bunch of startups go from zero to billions and billions, and I think most people believe like the next step is like physical AI, embodied AI. Yeah, I think that was like my general intuition, on like okay, what industry should I work in, especially so like. I never sort of had exposure to like hardware. Like I really spent like very, very little time on hardware. And so just like being around like good hardware engineers, embedded software engineers, learning about like how data's collected and things like this. Yeah, that was like I think this is like super important to me. Yeah.
Let's focus a little bit less on the future of your career and look at the past. You mentioned it earlier in an interview, how important your time at Entrepreneurs First was. You described as pivotal, actually, didn't you? Interestingly, they originally offered you a founder slot and you said no and took the investor role instead. As you've
Yeah.
made clear during this interview, you're somebody who wants to build. Was there something that you were specifically trying to learn from taking the investor role instead?
Yeah, I guess the main thing was like I just wanted generally more exposure into the world. Like I'd literally just come out of high school. I didn't really know anything about anything, and I still don't, to be honest. I think like there are like advantages to this when you're founding. Like probably if you haven't experienced anything, you can like, I don't know, come up with new ideas of like different ways to look at the world. I think there are a lot of disadvantages in the sense that like maturity wise, I didn't have a fucking clue how like hiring happens or like how you even sell to someone. And like probably I could have learned this very fast, but I think like seeing it from the outside is very beneficial in that regard. Secondly, now because I know a bunch of people through my like career at EF, at Entrepreneurs First, and at Oxford, because I know a bunch of people, it's much easier to like hire. It's much easier to learn a lot of new things about a new industry. I have like a higher level of like credibility generally, which makes like fundraising in the future much easier. And also like now I have a better understanding of like what do I actually care about. I think like at the time it was unclear to me if I could it was like impossible for me to like really build in robotics, I think. Like it would have been very, very difficult for me to like do EF for 3 months and like have a robotics company in the end of those 3 months. I think now it's like much more feasible, just because I just have like much more experience on everything. So yeah, at the time I was like really missing like a deep interest in something I think is important. And I think like that's quite important if you wanna found. Yeah.
Yeah, the more you learn, the less you know, in a sense,
Yeah.
and that can be quite important for founders. Is that something that you recommend for all founders, or do you think, again, it's like an exceptional case for you?
I think like there have like obviously been so many great founders who built startups right out of high school with like no formal experience and things. I wouldn't like I'd be hesitant to give advice to anyone or like any founders who are like thinking about this in that regard. Like I think it's like a very, very personal decision that you have to make. And a lot of times it's not something that you can like really think like rationally about and be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this and then this and then this and then I'm gonna be in a great position to found a company. A lot of the times it is just like follow your gut instinct, follow your intuition. 99% of the time, or like 90% of the time, you'll probably be wrong. Maybe 10% of the time it'll work out in some sense. And that's fine. Like that's just like the nature of the game. I think like yeah, I would just like I think if you're smart and you're ambitious, you'll probably like, regardless of what you do, what you'll do, you'll probably like end up having learnt a lot, anyways. So yeah, I don't know. It like yeah, I don't think I want to give like advice, like general advice that people should follow.
You had a gut instinct that you needed to learn a little bit more. Was there anything that you were afraid of that maybe made you take the investing role?
I guess also at the back of my mind, I was like, I do want to go to university to figure out if that's something for me. And that was like, okay, maybe I should just go do this like 3 month thing at EF, then go to university. Whereas if I like decided I want to found, that's like a 10-year commitment, which felt like very, way too early for me to like take on
It's half your
at that
life.
stage.
You wrote another blog post. It's actually really helpful for doing an interview. So I'm very thankful for all these posts. You wrote that during EF, you realized that badge collecting has diminishing returns. Did the sort of dropout argument for Oxford really then crystallize during your time at EF?
I think to some extent for sure. Like 100%. I wouldn't have considered dropping out before EF, probably. Very unlikely I would have. But I don't think like I used to think about like this idea of like badge collecting a lot a couple months ago or like during EF. But like it's just so like I don't think about it as like a concept in my mind. Everything just comes from like okay, what is the most optimal thing I need to do to get to my goal? And it's just like intuitive to me that like getting another badge does not get me any closer to my goal. Like if I go and grind for a couple months and get like an internship in quant, this will get me no closer to like founding a company, honestly. And that's like literally how I think about it. And it was like, yeah, it was like a big thanks to EF and the people there and reading like reading and listening to the people there that like I sort of this sort of idea was like came very like was just sort of like naturally ingrained in my mind.
Let's talk about the people there a little bit. There's obviously nearly hundreds of prospective founders there. From your time at EF, were there some qualities that sort of made the successful ones stand out?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so like let's look at so I was there for 3 months, which is about the length of I guess what they call internally like form. And form is basically like you're forming your company, right? You're finding your co-founder, and you're like sort of coming up with an idea that you're trying to validate. And I guess like it the success that happens in those 3 months is like at the end of it, do you get the investment from EF? And you know, this is another like not an obvious or like a it is an obvious thing to say, but like in most any sort of field, like who are the successful people? Well, it's always just the people who like are super, super persistent. And even at those 3 months at EF, like it was quite clear to see who was super persistent in those 3 months and like really, really wanted it versus who was like, it was sort of clear that they didn't have like their whole heart and mind in this game. Some people left pretty early on. Some people went and did other things or like took like long holidays or something. So I guess like yeah, the simple answer is like you will end up doing pretty well if you're like if you've gone into EF, you're probably like pretty good already. If you want to continue doing well, I think like the only thing is like persistence. Like that's the only thing I really saw.
Do you see that persistence in yourself? So in 3 years, hypothetically, if we did this interview again, where would that persistence ideally lead you?
I think when you're working at a startup or building a startup, more so when you're building a startup, but also when you're working a startup, there are like a thousand, if not more, things that will go wrong, like at any time. Like someone will leave the company. Maybe someone, one of your customers is going to be super delayed. Maybe you couldn't get a contract or something and they pulled out last minute. Maybe you fucked up on something. Like there are so much shit that goes wrong, and it's so easy to like lose momentum, right? Like when you're working super, super hard, there'll be days when like it feels like everything's just going wrong. I think for me personally, like in 3 years, persistence means that like regardless of everything that will go wrong, and inevitably, as I said, thousands of things will go wrong. Also be doing well. And it's as simple as that.
In 3 years, you'll still have a smile on your face. I guess that's the most
Yeah.
important thing at the end of
Thank you.
the day. Well, thank you for your time and congrats on the new job at Micro AGI. And yeah, looking forward to seeing what you achieve there.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
No worries. It was a pleasure. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.